DW Africa Link.
Young Kenyans made history. They stood up, spoke out, and actually got President William Ruto to back down from a controversial bill that would have introduced very punitive tax measures, according to those protesting. But what's the real story behind these game-changing protests? That's what we are diving into today. I'm George Okachi, and welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
In a stunning turn of events, young Kenyans took to the streets to protest against a controversial finance bill, 2024. Their voices were heard loud and clear, leading to concessions from the government. But how did they pull it off? And what does this mean for youth activism across Africa? But before we get into that, to set the mood, I'm going to play you a couple of voices from protesters that rocked Kenyan streets.
I learned this protest through social media, and I went through it through a TikTok, and I had gone through it, and he was just basically taking us through it, and I was like, this is not something that I'd want to pass, so I had to mobilize my community because I do have a platform on social media.
The reason why we are here today as young people is that we're here to fight the oppressive bill that is set to be passed by the parliament.
Now, one of the young people at the thick of all this was Jim India, a lawyer, activist, and a Gen Z. He's here with us. We also have my colleague Sela Oneko, DW's correspondent based in Nairobi. Sela, good to have you here. Jim, yo, what a wild ride for Kenya's youth. You guys actually made the Prezo back down. How is that feeling, being in the thick of it all?
It is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking on two fronts. One, that we had to get to this point. We had to get to a point of people occupying parliament for our leaders to listen to us. It had to take violence from the police for our leaders to listen to us. So it feels like he was cornered and he's been forced to do this, not out of will, not out of good conscience, but out of options.
For real though, you managed to get your message across despite all the chaos. In fact, people are calling it a game changer in Kenya's history. What's your take, Jim?
One is that there was such a clear call and clear message with this protest. It was that we wanted the finance bill rejected in totality. And consistently, the leaders kept saying, you know, we've removed the bad clauses, we've amended this part. And we kept telling them, you're not listening. We are saying reject the whole bill, not just amend some of it. And the level of organization, the level of use of social media to organize and be consistent and support one another, the medics, the lawyers, the tech, the techies, boots on the ground, everyone pulling in their resources, Kenyans in the diaspora, to ensure that at the end of the day, we get to the mission. And this is unprecedented because it was across party lines, across tribal lines, across age lines. Everyone was united for one cause and one cause only.
Well, unity was the vibe, right? But how did you manage to keep the politics out of it?
This protest did not happen in a vacuum. Anytime that there have been protests in this country, it's always young people who show up, but they have been led by the political class. And then the political class, because they are dealers, they make deals among themselves and leave the protesters out. So always, when the protesters think that the destination is rejecting a bill or rejecting a certain law, the politicians always have a different deal and a different card at the back of their pockets. And because we don't attend those meetings, once they get, if it's money or power, then they step out and the movement fizzles. But this time, what we're able to do is no politician called us out. And so we were able to sit in the public square, which is X and TikTok and whatever, and genuinely talk among ourselves and rally each other. And we've always downplayed the power of your 500 followers and your 200 followers on Facebook or on Twitter or on TikTok or on WhatsApp. But we saw the power of that I just needed to post the poster on WhatsApp. And already I have 50 of my friends saying, when do we meet up? Let's go together. I just needed to post it to my 2,000 followers on X, and they would retweet it and post it. And so we took advantage of that, the fact that we are always online, we are always tweeting, we are always on WhatsApp, we're always on Instagram. How do we convert those metrics and numbers into people actually showing up on the streets?
Sela, jump in here. You've seen your fair share of protests in Kenya. What made this one hit different?
Yeah, I mean, what was different this time was basically it was more of an organic protest that kind of grew out of from different corners. So people online, people calling people to come out. And so it wasn't what we usually see in Kenya. So what we usually see is the opposition, for example, calling for protests. They called for protests. The government could always say, oh, these are the people causing problems. Whereas now you don't have any leaders. You don't know who is in charge, and the opposition also took a step back.
Jim, before Sela came in, you mentioned the socials being the clutch. How did your social media platforms help with organizing and showing the world what was going down?
I think without social media, this protest, this movement would not have happened. And majority of young people, honestly, don't read the finance bill. It's a 134-page document. That's all legal lingo. No one has, you know, no one enjoys reading that. And someone then decided and said, let's create a ChatGPT for this bill. And they out of on their own, and they created the GPT. And that became interesting. And everyone said, okay, so I can just ask the GPT why this bill is bad. And you know, the AI will tell me why it's bad. And once that started happening, people started reading for themselves in a language that they understand, in a way that is a lot more fascinating, right? And then people started saying, look, call your member of parliament, tell them as they go to the floor of the house, they need to reject this bill. And someone created an Excel sheet that has numbers and tell them if, you know, access this, it's publicly available. So it wasn't just social media, you know, go on this Excel sheet, put in the name of your member of parliament and their phone number, please call them, tell them to reject the bill. And yeah. I think that level of organization, everyone pulling in, everyone coming up with brilliant ideas and taking it we can attribute it to why this was successful.
You know, it sounds easy when you say it, but the coordination was next level, I must admit. And what was the secret sauce?
It was a long time coming. As I've said, in 2023, we said no to a bill. It was passed against our wishes. And I think this time around, people just say, you know what? Enough is enough. You had medics saying, as young medical professionals, we are going to do free clinics for anyone who's injured during the protest. And someone would come and say, could we open a mobile money wallet where anybody can contribute? I think it's revolutionized for us how to organize, how to engage, and moving forward, this country is not going to be the same again from where I sit in terms of the level of youth engagement on matters politics, because we have finally been able to crack that the secret of converting online activism to actual boots on the ground.
So Jim, President Ruto is saying that he is down to chat with you guys. Your thoughts about that?
So here's the thing. The politics of Kenya and Africa in general is often very, for lack of a better word, patriarchal, quite condescending. And I think what our generation is doing is we have no apologies for offending you, because the decisions you make offend us every day. And the good thing is you're talking about like a really educated population. Thanks to free primary education from the former president, Mwai Kibaki, the majority of my generation have at least gone to secondary education, stepped into like a polytechnic or university or college. And so you can't invite all 1 million, 2 million, 8 million of us in State House. You have to come to where we are, which is online, and you have to listen to us. I think that's the rider that we're giving him. Don't call us children. Don't call us our children. That's a very condescending voice. I am a citizen first. Before I am my age, I am a citizen. And as a citizen, I am the one who put him in office. So he can't call me my children. That's a way to keep me in my place. That's a way to create this difference and this imbalance of power. So that once you create a power imbalance, then because in African tradition, we are taught not to talk back at our elders. We are told not to offend our elders. So then young people are afraid. So you can't come into a conversation about policy and start calling me my children.
Sela, cycling back to you, what is this protest was for all young Kenyans, no matter the tribe, gender, or political vibe? Is that what you saw on the ground?
Yes, I mean, definitely. I mean, I saw pictures of somebody in a wheelchair. We saw people, like even around Parliament, which was basically really the hot zone where police were shooting and tear gas and also live rounds. There were also just normal people there, men, women, everybody. So basically, people from all walks of life were there.
Jim, for our listeners in Kaduna, Nigeria, who might be confused, can you break down why you guys were protesting? Something about a finance bill with crazy taxes, right? But the government is saying the taxes were necessary so that Kenya could avoid borrowing more cash.
That's a good question. For clarity, is we did not, I think there might be a perception that we refused to pay tax. We did not refuse to pay tax. We happily pay tax and we will pay tax. This bill seeks to raise an additional about 302 billion shillings in taxes. And we're okay with that. What we're not okay with was, one, we saw the ridiculous expenditure of government. We think that just by reducing wastage and corruption in government, we can get the additional 300 billion that government was seeking to raise through taxes. We see our politicians live large. They live lives that dollar billionaires cannot live. Just the other day, they had nothing to their name. 2 years ago before elections, they had nothing to their name. And 2 years later, you want to tell me they can afford to dish out 20 million shillings every weekend at a church meeting? And that's what we're asking. That's why we say total rejection of the bill. How do you tell me that the deputy president's house that was built on 400 million shillings, Kenyan shillings, is going to be renovated at 600 million shillings? It just doesn't make any sense, because the president keeps saying we need to live within our means. And that's what you do even in your own house, right?
But the president is talking budget cuts and starting with his own office. Is that enough to calm things down?
Anything that the president says right now are his personal opinions until it is put into law. So even him saying that he's not signing the bill or whatever, that is still very ambiguous. Until we see a legal process of withdrawing the entire bill, will we actually believe what he's saying? And the next thing for us, we said we want to participate in the writing of the next bill. Every clause that they write, we want to interrogate it. This time, we're not waiting for them to give us a 134-page document for us to look at. If he's saying he's reducing taxes, he's reducing expenditure in the office of the president, if he was allocated 9 billion and he brings it down to 7 billion, then we would say that's a good step, right? And the next we have to go to is, say, the office of the deputy president, every single ministry. So part of the conversation that we want to have with him is make public our national debt. No Kenyan has access to that. We do not know, in reality, how much do we actually owe China? How much do we actually owe banks in Europe and America?
He said that every 100 shillings that they collect, 61 goes to paying debt.
Because as I've said, those are his personal opinions. Because you see, in slightly more serious society, national debt is something that I can access. The same way I can access the bill. When I go to Treasury's website, I can find the bill. I can see how much we are going to spend and things like that. As the young people of Kenya, we want to see our national debt. How much have we repaid? Was there any money that was stolen? Who stole it? Can we recover it from their personal properties? So that if anyone used public debt for private gain, can we go for their private goods to settle our public debt?
Jim, I'm really interested. Could you paint for us the picture of the protest vibes? How did you guys balance the anger with keeping things mostly chilled?
So as someone who's been in all three of the protests, and you've asked about the atmosphere, it was, in fact, we call it turning up. That's what we call the protest. We didn't even call them protests. We said we were turning up. People came out to their sisters. People came out to their wives and their girlfriends. Of course, at the end of Tuesday, we ended up, so many were arrested. We ended up spending most of the night going to police stations, trying to pick up our comrades who had been arrested, trying to release them, trying to post bail for them and things like that. But the police refused. They kept tear gassing us, spraying water cannons at us. In fact, the police were rioting as we were protesting, as we were vibing, as we were turning up. And the entire time, we kept telling them that we are actually fighting for you, for your children, for your rights to be paid well, not to be overworked. And then Tuesday, things turned out a bit different. We had like this group of young people, of protesters who were violent and who breached parliament and who broke things. And if you go online right now, we are actually trying to find all the goons and perpetrators who looted and who stoned, and we are sending videos to the police and telling them, these are not part of us. That's not why we came out to the streets. We didn't come to destroy any property. We didn't come to harm anyone. We only came so that our voices may be heard. But there are elements who took advantage of the moment. And that's part of what happens in most protests. You have criminal elements that can take advantage of such moments. And unfortunate things can happen, as happened in Kenya yesterday.
Sela, you saw it all, I'm sure. And even when things got messy at the National Assembly, was it tough to keep the balance between the rage and peace?
I mean, basically, what had been mentioned before by the Interior Ministry and before the protest on Tuesday, so according to law, people are allowed to protest until 6 o'clock. After 6 o'clock, things get very hectic. And because basically the police and security forces are like crack down on the people who are still there. So by around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, people were telling other protesters to leave town. So they were like, no, you have to go back now. It's after 6 o'clock, it's dangerous. So that's one thing that happened. And of course, when you have so many people there, it's really difficult to tell, who is who. I mean, it doesn't even need to be organized infiltration of protests. But when you have such large crowds, you can't really control what is going on.
So, Jim, what's the move now? I'm hearing some Ruto must go whispers. Any plans brewing?
As I said, we didn't have a long-term agenda, a 10-year agenda or whatever. All we knew is we wanted to reject the finance bill. And now that it's being withdrawn, we hope that it will actually happen legally, is we want to be part of, as I said earlier, part of the process of writing the new bill. Close by close, we will participate fully. All the professionals within our ranks, everybody will participate fully. We will avail it to young people to read it in a way that they love reading things, not legal jingo. So all our techies will help us with that. But number two, we are also, as I've said, we are asking government to listen to us and make public our national debt. We want to audit it and make drastic decisions on how do we recover any loot? Anyone who looted public debt, they need to pay it. We will continue engaging. We will continue organizing around different bills. We've already identified at least five other laws on the floor of the House that need to either be totally withdrawn. Yesterday, one was already withdrawn, which was the Lands Amendment Bill, which wanted to turn a lot of our freehold land into leasehold, and we raised issues with it. The next, there's a conflict of interest bill that is on the floor of the House that we've asked them to withdraw. So we are not stopping at the finance bill. Every other law that we think is an attack on our future, we are asking them to either totally withdraw it or giving very specific amendments to it.
Got any words for young people in other African countries who might be feeling inspired by what went down in Kenya?
We were inspired by Nigerians when they did the End SARS movement. We were inspired by South Africans when they did their Fees Must Fall movement. We've been inspired by so many other young Africans before us, and that's how we got here. And ours is a contribution to that inspiration to more young Africans in Uganda, in Tanzania, and in any other place. But I think the one thing that they can take away from this is engage. Take advantage of things that are at your disposal. And that's technology. I think for us, that's big. Like, just take advantage of it. Take advantage of technology. That's one easy way of breaking things down to young people. And take advantage of your numbers as young people. You can actually take power back. One of the coldest, I don't know if you guys have seen on Twitter, sometimes someone asks, what's the coldest opening line to a book you've ever read? And people give different lines that they've ever read. And I saw many Kenyans giving this, and I'll give it as well. The coldest line to an opening that I've ever read is the Kenyan Constitution. It says, all power belongs to the people. That is one of the coldest lines that we've ever had. And it is one of the lines that we are taking advantage of and just saying, all power belongs to us.
Jim, thanks for spilling the tea. You mentioned NSAS protest in Nigeria as an inspiration. Shortly, we shall be bringing in my colleague Olisa Chukwuma, was in the thick of it there.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Now, the highlight of today's conversation is that young Kenyan people have demonstrated that we are in a new era of activism powered by smartphones and determination. The impact of this protest is being felt beyond Kenya's borders. Let's welcome my colleague Olisa Chukuma, who covered the ANSA's protests that reached fever pitch in 2020 but had existed since 2017 in Nigeria. Hello, Olisa. And Olisa, I know you've been following the Kenyan situation. What similarities are you seeing between these two youth-led movements?
Well, first of all, it was a surprise that Kenyans, especially young Kenyans, have really rallied themselves and they're taking to the streets. They want this bill, not they are rejecting the bill totally. They don't even want amendments to the bill. And on a different note, we saw that they also use social media with the hashtag kill the finance bill. So that hashtag was trending even in Nigeria. A lot of people who witnessed the NSAS were retweeting it and calling on other people to join the hashtag, calling Nigerians to join the solidarity. Other Nigerians are calling the solidarity to join the hashtag and also tweet it, kill the finance bill. And that made me really begin to draw parallels between it and NSAS, a bit of similarities, in it.
In both cases, Olisa, social media seems to be the secret weapon. What's your take?
Yes. Because the NSAS protests, the NSAS hashtag had already been trending even before the protest. I remember as far as 2018, 2019. I remember writing a few articles or blogs about it in 2019. But it was 2020, all of a sudden in Lagos, the protests just started. People just had enough with this notorious police units. Young people particularly had enough of these police units, generally with policing generally. And they came out and they said enough is enough. And it wasn't just in Lagos, in Abuja, in Port Harcourt, in other cities. People came out in their thousands, but Lagos was now the headquarters of the protests, particularly the Lekki toll gate. Before it got to a week, the police disbanded the NSAS unit immediately. The police themselves disbanded it, but the government could then not end the protests because it then became, they were demanding for more and they wanted results of police reform. They wanted actionable things on the ground. So that's why the protests kept on, and the hashtag kept on generating. People kept on tweeting. People kept on using it on social media, using videos on Instagram, particularly Instagram and Twitter. I don't think TikTok was that big then, But following that further, we've seen the rise of TikTok, where Kenyans now have now used the same platform to organize this end finance bill protest to come out on the streets and demand that their voices be heard.
And Olisa, lastly, before I let you go, there is always this tension between freedom of expression and following the rules during protests. Sadly, we often see deaths in these situations across the continent. And what are your thoughts about this?
It's a tricky balance to navigate. But on evidence on what we saw from the NSAS, which was largely peaceful, especially in Lagos, they did not go to parliament, unlike what we are hearing now in Kenya, where people breached parliament and they were able to get in, where it got a bit violent from the pictures we are seeing. Though it's been peaceful on the streets in Nigeria, because of the NSAS was for police. The police could not then be the ones to quell it. In fact, the police were the ones to say, hey, this is what we are doing. We disbanded the units. And the police, we are not necessarily, yes, it was a bit confrontational in the capital, in Abuja, when the NSAS started. But the focus was on Lagos at the Lekki toll gate. And it was not a confrontation. It was a free-for-all, and it was a concert. It was concerts. People there were there making their demands. They did not move. So, but it then comes to the case of how come gunshots then happened after 3 weeks of protests. Sometimes we have to go back and remember that, look, the first gunshots that came out of these protests did not happen in day one. It happened at the end, and it did not come from the protesters. It came from the military or from the people in uniform. So who was the one violence. You know, that's the it's a bit of a gaslighting thing that people talk about when people try to remember what happened in NSAS. Like, that's true. So that's why we see people referencing the NSAS protest, that the way it ended was not the way it was supposed to be, you know, because the violence that happened was not administered on the protesters. They did not even go to parliament. They were not with parliament is in Abuja, the capital. We see people were in Lagos, the mega city. And they had all the DJs and all the musicians, yet they were shot at. So it goes back to what do governments see when they see protests? What do they understand by protests?
The success of Kenyan protests might have ignited inspiration for young people across Africa to stand up to their government. It is a powerful reminder for governments and leaders that young voices will not stay silent in the face of injustice. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. The show was produced by Kai Nebe, and on behalf of the entire team, I am George Okachi. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for minds.